Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 388. I had to guess at that because I labeled the last two 386 on the website, so I got to change that, I guess. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Number one, so that's all you need to know there.
And Jeff is here.
Breath of the Wilds, number one.
No, it's not.
And Pete is here.
That's gonna be an exciting
podcast. 2018 is here, so we can wipe the mistake that was made.
Right, we can pretend this never happened. It's fake right. News.
It happened last year, it's gone, so it's in the past. Just move forward. Pick a new game this year. So if you haven't listened to our last episode, we named Breath of the Wild Game of the Year. Not discussing any other game.
This "we" is a very general term.
Well, right? I mean, but
Chris named it Game of the Year.
Yes,
I allowed it to become Game of the Year
in the same way that Comey allowed Trump to become president. Chris has allowed Breath of the Wild to win Game of the Year.
I don't know if that's quite fair.
So from now on, Breath of the Wild will be referred to.
I mean, it was 90%.
It's the Donald Trump of games. Just admit it.
I will say one of the criticisms that we got was that we did not really discuss anything else.
I kept waiting for Mario to be brought up, but we just spent like a lot of the time waiting for Jeff to form a coherent sentence, and then the podcast ended.
I listened to the whole podcast. I made my point perfectly fine. You guys just wanted me to repeat it over and over, or like somehow expand upon it, and I'm just
right because your point was it's a really good game, that's why it should win.
No, I laid out when we did our top 10, I said it takes inspiration from Dark Souls. That was one of the things. Another thing was the traversal, another thing was level detail in an open world. Like, I laid out like four or five different things, and then by the time we came circled back around to it when we were arguing about like number one, I was like,
yeah,
I felt like I
just listed none of them are true. That's the problem that I have.
What is not true?
All right. Well, for one, I don't think any of us likes the Dark Souls combat except for you. Number two,
I was arguing whether you liked it.
No. So if we're picking this as the game of the year of our podcast, and four of us think that the combat in Dark Souls sucks and you like it, that does not make the combat good.
That's factually untrue. But
exactly. That's what I'm trying to say. All right, whatever.
But the traversal thing in Zelda is like there have been a number of games that have had very similar traversal systems. Like, that's not new.
Really?
There have been a number of games that have had.
Fly around and climb any surface.
Right, game of the year 2017, the sequel.
Well, instead of focusing on Zelda, because we did spend a lot of time talking about Zelda. We could spend a little bit more time talking about Zelda because I know Jeff has played more of it. I actually restarted it.
And you like it even less.
Like it less too if I played the first 5 hours twice in a row.
I think that first area is maybe the best area in the game. But
well, you haven't seen it. That's the thing.
That sound right there. That last 5 seconds right there, that was most of the last half hour of the podcast.
No, it was. Here's what the last half hour of the podcast was. It was me like having to defend like arguments that I never could have anticipated because no one else said the fucking map in Breath of the Wild sucks. Like, I just, if you listen to most people are like, that's one of the coolest parts of the game.
Right, because most people look at a Zelda game and go, it's without flaw, right. Naturally.
I am still, and that's fine, Jeff. Like, I do, like, there are people like Pete says that are just like, hey, it's Zelda, cool, whatever. Yay. Like, I don't see what's so great about that map. Like,
I don't see what's bad about it. Like,
I don't think it's bad. It's a map. It's like, it's basically the step that you have before you have the map in every other open world game. We're not going to unlock anything for you. We're going to make you build it yourself.
The only notable thing about it is it lets you fill out the map like you're an explorer. Like, it gives you a bunch of different symbols, and it doesn't point you where to go for everything. It goes, you fill it out.
You can drop waypoints and pins in lots of other games.
Sure, but the map is basically blank except for whatever your main
mission is. I think that's more like, as somebody that plays, and this is certainly just, I mean, I'm only speaking for myself here, but you guys know I play a ton of games.
Yeah, like, Chris, your list of games in the email was like 15. I played two games over break.
Like, yeah, I mean, I play a lot of games. So, like, the fact that, like, to sit down and like, actually fill out my own map, like, that's daunting because I have other shit to play. Like, I'm always getting other shit to play. And it's like, that's a fault of my own, and I know that. But, like, it's like, I just don't, to me, that the map wasn't, like, this wow thing. Like, it's a map. And I would really rather just have, like, okay, there's a shrine. Like, here's the shrines. Go if you want to do the shrines or, like, whatever. Like, you want to hide the Korok seeds or whatever. Great. That's cool. There's 900 of them. You don't need to drop them all over the map because then it looks like shit. Looks like an Assassin's Creed map. But, like, give me the major points at least and, like, a way that I can kind of follow on the mini-map to get there as opposed to, like, so... Here. So I just started the game again, and what I noticed was the first time around, I missed a ton of shit that might have made the game easier. Like, I never met up with the Korok seed guy. Ever.
Oh my God.
So, because I went around the fucking mountain to get to the town. Like, I climbed up the mountain to get to the town. Like, I didn't follow.
You didn't walk up the. Yeah,
I didn't just walk. There's a straight line, but it was like, oh, I can just explore, do whatever I want. Yay! I climbed up a fucking mountain, and I ended up there, and I never met the Korok.
You would have ran into him eventually, anyways. Like, just at some point later, you would have walked past it, probably. But that's funny as fuck.
Yeah, so it's like this stuff that, like, oh, well, like so Earl was like, I don't understand, like, how you always were running out of weapons, or like your shit was always breaking so fast, because. And I'm like, oh, I know why he says that, because if I had gone this one way, I would have got this tutorial on how to actually do it. And he would have said, like, hey, here's how you can meet me again. But that never happened. So instead, like, the game was just abnormally harder right off the bat because he did not deliver that.
What does he give you? He expands, like, your weapon slots, doesn't he?
He can
expand. Or he expands your slots.
Yeah.
Ooh, expand my slots, yeah.
But, like, that's super useful, like, when your weapons are breaking every, like, hey, I got like, these five, you know, rusty swords, and they break in two fights. Like, that's super cool to, like, you know, have two extra slots. Like it's still annoying because I don't like the weapon degradation, but if I had more swords, it would be less of a problem, and I wouldn't be like, where's a fucking skeleton, because now I'm fighting with his arm.
I'm still confused by why you restarted it, though. Like, why didn't you play around with it?
Because it was like, coming back to it, I didn't know what the fuck was going on. And I'm sure all of us have gone that, right? We haven't played it for a while.
I think would have to restart from
there. I mean, I would say most Zelda games are like that, but, like, this one specifically, no. Like, you can just go back and you'll be fine, but, I mean...
Yeah, like, I went in, like, at the... I just wasn't... Like, nothing felt natural to me, so I was like, I just need to kind of, like, reset and restart it, and now I'm just cheesing my way through.
But now you can get bored again 10 hours in. You're gonna fucking stop playing.
Probably.
Now I have all the weapons, and, like, I have so many ingredients because I have all these fucking amiibo that I can drop on my controller every day, and shit just falls from the sky. So I've kind of broken it in that way, but I'm working my way through it. I'm doing I'm looking up some YouTube videos, like, tell me where some shrines are so I can get, you know, some buffs early on of stamina and hearts. You said what, you need 13 hearts or something to get the Master Sword, which evidently isn't common to get because Fozzie still doesn't have it. And I think he beat
the game. It's super common. It's like a main story. Like, if you play through the story, you'll get it. Like,
right, but that least, like, but think. The story is, like, the worst part of that game. So the fact that, like, people have been turned off from that to do anything else is not really all that surprising.
Well, I mean,
I don't know. I kind of want to follow the main path like now, because it's like that, like where it was like, you know, and that was the big thing like early on. It was like, oh, this game just lets you go anywhere. It fucking does.
It's kind of the warm up to doing the rest of the game.
But like, if early on you go wherever you want instead of like specifically following what they want you to follow, even though they don't go specifically follow, like, because they don't give you like a, you know, there's not like, hey, here's the path you got to take. No, don't go over there. Like,
oh yeah, I mean, you could totally wander and just explore. You could ignore the main story. You know,
right. I mean, like Skyrim, you could, like, it's just say it, fuck it, and go right and try and defeat Ganon like right off the bat, right? Yeah, like, that is something that can be done. Yeah. So like, I just felt like I needed to restart it, recenter myself, and try it again. But yeah, I just the map just wasn't something for me, and I'm still not digging the combat. And the degradation, like even with like the extra, I hate it. Like,
I explained what the Master Sword does, right? Like once you get it.
No, but does it like, so nothing breaks? Like that sword doesn't break?
No. And the Master Sword breaks.
That sword breaks.
The Master Sword breaks as well, but it comes back like after like seven minutes. So it's like, you always have this super top level weapon. Sometimes you have to do without it for 7 minutes. And you...
7 minutes. What an arbitrary number. Like, no, that felt like they made the system, remembered it was a Zelda game, and had no idea what to do with the most iconic weapon in the game in a system where every weapon's supposed to break. It's like, well, do we make the Master Sword unbreakable so then it breaks the combat system and nobody ever uses anything else? It's like, but is it really the Master Sword if it just shatters? No, what if we just have a cooldown meter? That's so weird.
It's like, once it breaks, so like after that point though, like once it breaks, it's, you're like, big deal. You got like 10 other weapons that are super high level too.
Right,
and
right.
You'll switch right back to the Master Sword once it's back.
Right. But so by the time those other ones break, like, or by like the time, like two or three of those other ones break, maybe your weapon's back. All right. Well, I'm going to try to get the Master Sword. We'll see.
I'll be very happy if you do.
I'm trying, Jeff. And it was my number six game of the year. Like, I liked what I played.
That's the other thing.
Things about it that are like just frustrating and infuriating.
I hear you. There's things that like you guys might not like as much, but it was so funny too how negative you and Tony are being about it. You both have it on your list.
No, it's well, that's kind of what game of the year conversation.
Yeah, I know.
You're, that's like, kind of what I hate about it.
Let's pick these awesome games and then shit on them. Let's do that. Because it's great.
Yeah, because I don't think Tony or I were trying to like make the argument that, you know, Zelda's a bad game. Pete might, but
like, no, I don't know if I'd go that far. I just make the argument that most arguments in favor of it are blown completely out of proportion.
I think
relative to any other game that exists.
I think you should come back after you play it. I think
I'm like not going to play it.
I think you'll like it more than
I'm
either
just
of them.
Literally never going to play it.
Pete might actually like it more than Tony or I.
I'm serious. I think he would. I think he would actually like it more than you guys.
Probably would.
But I do like. I mean, one of the complaints we got was that we, you know, it wasn't even a complaint. It was just a comment that like we kind of only focused on Zelda. We were like, here's 4 through 10. Like, and we did spend a little bit of time like, you know, discussing the bottom three, like, you know, how they would fall.
Well, yeah, I think the one change we made, we were just like, what if we switched Nier and Wolfenstein? We were like, all right, cool.
Yeah, that was
and
it.
Then
right?
That was it. And then we were like, all right, here's our top three, fight.
But then,
and then
yeah, like,
it was we, just like, all right, present your arguments for Zelda. And then the podcast ended right after.
Yeah. Like,
I think the other thing that happens, though, with those games lower down is that we haven't all played them.
Yeah.
Like, most of us had played Zelda. Most of us had played Mario. Like, it was easier to have a discussion about those. Like, how are you guys going to have a discussion with me about Total War, Warhammer
2? We can't. And it's like... We know what belongs on the list, just like the same, you know, with Nier, like being, I mean, we could have probably had a more cohesive conversation about Nier, but like, you know, Nier and Warhammer and like stuff like that, where it's like, you know, either one or two of us have played it, and like we know it belongs on the list because like, you know, those top games do belong on there because, you know, we're all part of this podcast together.
Say,
Like, but yes, like as a joint as a joint list. Like,
well, and it didn't help that game of like the game of the year discussion podcast began at 1 a.m.
It's true. Like, I do think that we'll have to make some changes next year.
maybe split two nights.
Yeah,
yeah. Because I was exhausted by the end of it. Like,
I will say, I honestly wasn't expecting the first part to go 3 hours because we've normally blow through that section.
Yeah, that normally does not take nearly that long.
Yeah.
And
it actually didn't feel like we had spent so long on a lot of those categories. Like,
I think there were a couple categories that just had a lot of stuff to talk about. Like,
oh, maybe.
There's
a lot of categories.
Yeah, well, maybe we pare it down a little bit there, too.
Well, I think we just break it out into two nights, dude. That way you could get an episode where you feel like you put in the full effort to both.
Yeah, there were several times I was talking about stuff and forgot that the episodes were a week apart, so I would just be like, oh, yeah, well, we already talked about this, like, 20 minutes ago when...
Yeah, I was making fun of you afterwards, because you, like, there was a couple times in the second podcast when you reference something we talked about earlier, and I'm like, wait, it was, like, a week ago.
this morning, my brain was, like, not even comprehending that.
Yeah. It does come from, you know, us sitting down for 5 hours and recording.
Yes, like, yes, it's a long podcast.
The one thing I do hate about it is like where we get in and we just like kind of shit on these games that we all like think are actually pretty good. So
yeah.
I mean, I did mean to shit on Horizon, but
oh man, that game is
awesome. In general, yes, I agree with your sentiment, Chris. But
we
can't all have taste, can we?
I do regret that we didn't talk about Mario more because I think maybe if we weren't so tired and I wasn't kind of like I had gone into the podcast like going like I don't really care what wins. Maybe this is the year that Jeff gets his.
And Chris and I like, actually had this conversation before the podcast started.
Well, I made this point on Twitter as well. It's like, you know, have sour grapes about it or whatever. If there was ever a year that I was gonna fucking my pick was gonna win, it was this year.
So, I mean, as long as we can all agree that it was out of apathy and like
I think for this year, Jeff loved Zelda more than any of the rest of us loved any game.
Yeah.
And Fozzie was kind of with me there too. Like he did a lot too. Like
Fozzie throwing like so it wasn't just like, you know, one person going, this is my game, like yeah, well like you know, Fozzie did have some digs in there as well. I really wish we had talked about Mario a little more.
Absolutely.
Especially after seeing how people interacted with it over the holidays for me. And you know, that would never have come up in our Game of the Year discussion because we do it prior to Christmas. But what I saw between the two games, because like, hey, Zelda and Mario, like, oh, you have both of them. That's awesome. Can I try? Sure, go ahead. And I saw kids like put Zelda in and immediately kind of turn it off.
Yeah, my son played Zelda for like a couple weeks. He has been obsessed with Mario since it came out. Yeah, like it's awesome plays.
And that's not to take anything away from Zelda, but I think that Mario is a far more inviting game to all players.
I think it's an easier game to demo as well. It's like, hey, play with this, you know. It's a playground. I mean, Zelda's a playground too, but it's like way
but
it's a
different type of playground, yeah. Right? Like, so, like, but like people like come in and like they kind of just get the concept of Mario, and Zelda is this slow burn. Like, you need to put that like you know, a couple hours through that prologue area to even kind of get the basics, and just seeing like people interact with the two of them was like really like. And it's hard because, like, I don't know. Like, Zelda probably brings a giant smile to your face, Jeff. But, like, I'm watching these kids and even some adults, like they're just fucking having fun playing Mario. Like, they light up. Like, it's like people that don't even, like, really play games. They were just, like, really into it. And it's like, you know what? Like, that's something that I think that's a giant plus for that game. Outside of it being a good game on its own, like, it is kind of the perfect example of a video game for people to look at and go, yes, this is why you want this system. This is why you should play video games, because they are fun and joyous. They are not all dark and gloomy. Not that Zelda's dark and gloomy.
But Zelda is like, a little dark and gloomy.
A little. Like, especially this one. More dark and gloomy than previous.
Yeah. It's like, here's the world that was destroyed.
Right.
Yeah, and so you know, this one is a little more unforgiving. Like, you will get your ass kicked if you fuck around.
So I mean, I don't know if that necessarily like changes the argument there, but I do wish we had kind of talked about like just, you know, how colorful Mario is and how it's just a joy to play. Like, it's just, and it brings joy to others.
I mean, I agree with what you're saying. I don't think that necessarily makes one better than the other like that. Because it's just, you know, in that case, like, Pac-Man always wins too because it's simple. Well,
I'm still a little bitter about that one. Like, a little bitter about when we had that discussion.
That game holds up. Just saying. It does. I'm kind of with you on it too, Chris.
Not that Reach doesn't, but
I would have. You could have totally swayed me to Pac-Man if you thought about it. I mean,
I thought I did.
You fought pretty hard for Pac-Man.
I can't remember
who fought against it. I forget.
It wasn't. I mean, it couldn't have been me because I remember I really liked that game. But I think I might have been like, totally, really, are we going to say get this game of the year? Like,
you know, I think I was like this like $10 game. Like,
yeah,
like and. I don't know. I think we've certainly expanded, but anyway, yeah, we'll have to make some adjustments to Game of the Year next year.
So I think like this doesn't happen next time.
Zelda doesn't come out next year, so I think we'll be okay.
Right? I don't know why I assumed that. I mean, I don't think so. But I don't know why I assumed that the conversation at the end of last week's episode would have. I assumed it would have been like Odyssey versus Zelda. Like, I thought for sure, like, a lot of people would have been like, yeah, fucking Mario. I think I gotta give Fozzie credit. He like said he purposely avoided talking. Like when you kind of gave up Odyssey, Chris, like he avoided talking about it because he knew Zelda might have a better chance against Horizon or whatever.
And I do kind of regret not talking about Horizon. I think we placed Horizon correctly. At least for us overall, Peep disagrees, I'm sure, but
I mean, I was ready to vote Mario
just to fucking end it.
Yeah, because I thought that's like honestly, I honest to God did not understand why this was still going because like the votes it was a very clear 3-2 split.
Yeah,
but like for some reason, Chris seemed super dead set on making like just giving it away, which I don't understand.
Justice for Hefe.
I think I'll explain this. Like, and we talked briefly about it a couple minutes ago, but coming in, I wasn't like so passionate about Odyssey winning. Like, where I could see, like, Jeff was like, oh, this is fucking it. Like, this is the game. Like, I could see the passion behind Jeff and even some of Fozzie's arguments, but it was like, I need a fucking reason to give it to you. Cause like, and a lot of the arguments really came down to Tony and Chris, you both are crazy. Cause you don't like this.
Well, I was like, does not compute like half the time at the end. I'm like, I don't understand what you're saying.
And that's what I was trying to pull at. And I think like we got there at the end, like, it was like, no, this was why. Like, it's a joy to play for this, and I like doing this, and X, Y, and Z. And it's like, okay, I get that we talked some of that about, and like when you revealed it as your number one in the top 10, but that never came together in this conversation. But yes, I will totally take the blame for giving Breath of the Wild
Listen to Fozzie's man. Like, that's the thing. I was super passionate about it. I was not going to back down. I was not going to be happy with anything else. And like Fozzie said, you had two people that had that as their one. And they're both, like, pretty passionate about it. And the rest of you are kind of divided. You know what I mean? So it kind of makes sense to me in a way. I mean, I don't know.
Nah.
It's fine. I will say that, you know, as I always do after the fact, the next day, I did add up based on our top 10s. I'll briefly give that rundown here. Super Mario Odyssey would have been number one. It had 35 points. Horizon would have been number two with 33. Zelda at three with 28. So our top three are the same. It's just placement-wise. Assassin's Creed was at four regardless. Destiny 2 was at 5. It ended up 7 on our overall list. PlayerUnknown's was at 6. That ended up at 5. Resident Evil was at, or was I at 7? 7?
Yeah.
Yes.
7 and 6, so they flip-flopped. Wolfenstein was at 8, and we placed it at 10. And then
it was like Total War and Nier.
Yeah, Mario, Nier, and Total War were all tied with 10 points, but you, like Total War and Nier were both number ones on somebody's list, so they placed in. So I mean, our top 10 is basically the same, like yeah. It's just placement wise, like with Mario getting more votes.
Yeah,
dude. It will. That's the thing. That's our joke I made on Twitter too. Is like they're gonna have another one of these in 2 years. You're not getting another Zelda for at least fucking 5 years, probably. So that's,
it's we all can good. Hope.
Mario will win next time. Chris,
I would be shocked if there was not a 2D Mario this year.
Actually, that's yeah, a really I would good be idea, shocked. Tony, and I would buy it.
I would buy it too. I would. Be
I'd like a new art style from New Super Mario Brothers, though. I don't dislike that art style, but I would like a new art style.
Man, I want an art style in the style of the 2D parts of Odyssey.
Oh, yes.
Well, like the 8-bit shit, kind of, yeah. But like...
But
8-bit, modernized. But not actually 8-bit.
Yeah. Like more...
It's how we remember it, but not how it actually was.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like...
That would be neat.
It's kind of like what Shovel Knight is, right? It's like 16-bit, but not 16-bit. Like...
Yeah.
Anyway, game of the year, it's over. We're now on to 2018.
God.
What have you guys been playing?
I put another 50 hours into Warhammer 2 since our last.
All right.
The game is awesome.
That's cool. Have they added any more content, or you're just keep playing different factions? Or...
So they added so much content in the campaign that they added, the Mortal Empires campaign, mm-hmm. that it was worth it to go through and play with all of the races from the original game over again. Because there's just so much more to do now, and everything is like optimized. And of course, they all the DLC was on sale too, so I bought everything on the Steam sale. I went through and played a full campaign since the conclusion of our Game of the Year podcast with the Chaos Warriors. Which are about, you know, burning it all down, which is cool. Like, completely different from every other Total War campaign where you're trying to, like, build up your provinces and, like, claim territory. Instead of that, you're, like, burning everything you find to the ground and moving on to the next thing and burning that to the ground, too. So it's just a different feel for it. But every race in that game just feels so cool and so well done. I moved on. My current campaign is with the vampires, and okay. I always play with the sound down really low because I'm like playing while my kids are doing stuff. Like I don't want to like overwhelm the room. But I noticed like the music changes based on who you're playing as, and you know playing as the vampires, like everything is like vampire themed. So like you're clicking on your stuff and you're like hearing people scream, and it's got like a nice little. Like Transylvanian theme going on the whole time. It's really cool. I don't know. There's a reason it was my game of the year, and I'm definitely going to play more. And there's an expansion coming out in 2 weeks, so I'm not done with this game yet, not by a long shot. So
I'm sure we'll be hearing more about it. And
oh yes,
and Jeff will be like, no more.
Bro, yep. What were we talking about?
Exactly. you play anything else, Tony?
We played. PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds.
Oh, we did. Yes, all four. Well, not Pete, but there were four of us.
Yes, there were four of us. Don played with us.
Yes. Sorry, Pete. You don't play on Xbox, though.
Nope.
Get an Xbox, Pete.
Nope.
I think I would enjoy that game so much more if with I spot microphone. My microphone.
God right. Damn it, Jeff. Get a microphone.
It's like funny. It's like I turn around.
I'm laughing at what you guys are saying and shit, but I can't join the conversation at all. And that whole game is just like... It's fun to just hang out with your friends and fucking laugh at how bad
exactly.
You are.
We're making like, fun of you too the whole time.
Like I turned around, yeah. Like you weren't moving. I'm like, Jeff, you awake? And like you would just like wiggle. Like,
yeah.
that was a fun match, especially the one where we all ended up in that one house for
dude. We got quite to like almost the top 10, didn't we? We were like
number 7. We ended up in 7th. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. That's fucking awesome.
That was like, I do think like the game does a poor job of dictating to the player where you're getting shot from.
That's on purpose.
I know. It's fucking annoying though. Like it's infuriating. It's like, because every other shooter kind of gives you like some sort of indicator of, and coming to this one,
it's just like yeah, the, you're like, okay,
where the fuck is it? God damn it! Like, and it's just
I can't
like,
hear where it's coming from. I can't. There's no visual cue. Like, what am I doing here? Oh, yeah, I'm dead.
Yeah,
I would have died anyway, though. Probably in my case, so it doesn't matter.
That's true.
Maybe if I had like I don't know. Cause, Tony, you play with headphones on, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so is the sound design like, is it good enough that you can kind of
directional certainly.
Okay. Yeah, so like I'm listening to it right off my TV and it's like, you know, the stereo sound off of my TV isn't super great. Like it sounds fine for what I'm doing, but yeah, I probably would get better if I like put my nice headphones in and got the directional sound. Like, okay, it's coming from the right. I'd probably just spin around in a circle and still die, but at least I'd know where I was getting shot from. that was fun. Like it was fun, kind of like setting that ambush for that guy that walked into the house. And
yep, it's more playable now too. The frame rate's a lot more stable now since the patch. Like I feel like I can actually get something in my crosshairs and pull the trigger, and it will be hit.
Yeah.
Which is not how I felt about it at all.
Pete, like, since you're playing on PC, do you play in third person or in first person?
We play mostly in third person, but because first person used to make me sick.
Okay.
They've changed some stuff since then. I can't drive in first person still without getting sick, but most of the time it's fine.
Okay, yeah,
primarily is third person.
I was just wondering because I have not played in first person, so I wonder if maybe I'd feel the shooting was a little better if I was playing that way.
Nope.
Okay.
It's designed to be like a
it's like Arma, right? Like it's more realistic kind of.
Yeah, but like it's not going to be like more. I don't know. Like
it's not going to feel like Battlefield.
No.
Right, yeah, it's still going to be a little bit clunky to shoot, like, because I mean, shooting a gun is a little bit clunky, actually. Like, I just wish it like felt a little better on the shooting side, but that was a lot of fun when we played.
Controls all around, I wish they felt a little better, but
yeah, I don't know.
It's fun enough that like I'm going to order a mic right now so next time we play.
Yes,
you guys are going right to play now, this again, right?
Yeah. I'm going to play it a lot. Well, Don is really into it too, so yeah, we're definitely going to be on. Right.
Like, if you guys send me an invite, like I'll play as long as I'm not doing anything. Like,
In fact, tomorrow night we're playing. How about that?
Okay, I can do that. Yeah, it's fun. You play anything else besides Battlegrounds?
Who are you asking?
Anybody?
Anyone. I'm done. I played Total War and Battlegrounds and NBA 2K, which you don't want to hear about.
Yeah, well, we know what makes you angry, so.
Angry.
Pete, you played Tekken 7?
Yeah, buddy.
How's that?
It's real good. Excuse me, Jesus. Yeah, so I haven't really dug into anything outside the story mode, but the story mode is real good. Like it's like a real story mode. Like it's not old Tekken games used to just have an arcade mode.
It's an arcade mode with cutscenes.
Right. No, this is like Mortal Kombat.
Injustice, Mortal Kombat type. Okay.
But what it doesn't do, unlike something like an Injustice storyline, is that it doesn't create excuses for every character in the roster to be in the story.
Okay.
And so, like, throughout the story, you play as maybe five characters. And so it's able to tell a proper story that way.
As opposed to some crazy nonsense. Like, why is Harley Quinn here all of a sudden? Like,
yeah, like, all of, like, the random shit of, like, yeah, exactly. Like, we're just forcing.
Right, because Harley Quinn and Green Arrow are on our roster. We need to throw them in this scenario. But why?
Right, exactly. Yeah, so, like, It's yeah. So and I actually found its story to be, I actually really enjoyed its story.
Nice.
Because it's sort of what's the word I'm looking for? It kind of, it doesn't culminate, like it's not a finale to the Tekken story, but it does like bring together a whole bunch of stuff that they've been writing about for like the last, or like trying to tell over the past 20 years, basically.
Okay.
And so in that way, it's really interesting. Like it's very reverent of its past and sorry, my throat's off.
Yeah. Tekken.
Tekken.
And so, yeah, I don't know. I really enjoyed it. Like it doesn't, it's not afraid to, in kind of the same way, like in this year, weirdly enough, has been like a very like nostalgic year for Japanese games. You know, like both in terms of Mario and you know, and stuff like just them celebrating their own history, and stuff like that. I would say that Tekken, yeah, falls along those same lines of like, hey, you know, we understand that there's a lot of fan service, in the game, like for players who have been with the series for a long time and stuff like that. And the story is competently told. Like it's anime bullshit, but like it owns it and like tries to tell like an interesting family, like Shakespearean drama framed around anime bullshit.
Okay. It plays good?
Yeah, no, it's a lot of fun. Like I would have put it on my top 10 had I played it before our podcast, but I got it for Christmas, so.
Nice.
Yeah, I hope to dig into some of the extra modes like Treasure Battle and, you know, I probably won't play online ever, but that's not why I wanted the game, so.
Man, people give you games for Christmas. Nobody ever gives me any games. They give me money and be like, okay, buy a game because I don't know what you want.
Yeah, I mean, they could have given me the money, but it's more fun for me to just open it.
They try to get my son games.
And you already have everything.
Well, yeah, or so my mom went trying. So my mom asked my son what he wanted for Christmas, and he said Cuphead. Which, not a... Not a
kid game.
He's 12. Like, I mean, I'm sure
he's old enough now.
But like, not a game that like you can go to the store and buy. Like, I don't know if like he because like games just show up for him to play on the Xbox because I buy them digitally and like, oh shit, there's new shit in the library. So like, he doesn't know how the fuck it works.
Oh, so he doesn't even know like, hey, you got to buy me like a gift card.
Yeah, so like he just tells my mom Cuphead, and my mom's like, who doesn't buy games, like she hasn't bought games since like I was probably in like high school. She's like, I'm trying to get him this Cuphead game, and I can't find it anywhere. And then I went on Amazon, and I got more confused because it said something about a Steam code, and like he said he wants it for Xbox, and like what the hell is Steam? She's like, I went to Target, and they didn't know what I was talking about. Just get him an Xbox gift card. It's all right. Yeah, so it's like it's hard buying games.
Yeah, that's why what I do now is I just send an Amazon wish list to my parents, and they just, you know, I mean, my dad's tech savvy enough that, you know, I don't need to necessarily, you know, treat him like he's like, you know, old and never been around technology, but you know, it helps to just streamline the process as much as possible.
I just remember the year my mom tried to buy me Madden. I'm like, you never buy me Madden. Just don't worry about it.
Just don't ever do this again.
No, don't try, because I'd buy Madden day one every single year. If it's Christmas, don't buy Madden.
Yeah, because I already have it.
I have it.
It does make it hard, like especially as an adult, to buy games for people, like unless you specifically do what Pete did and kind of create a list.
You'd have to like tell somebody exactly what you wanted.
I did see, I read a blog post, a news post about Nintendo, and I guess Mario Kart Wii trended as one of the top selling items for over the Christmas holiday.
Oh no.
And I mean, you can't, there's nothing, you know, relating to that. There's no proof that like people were buying, but I do wonder if people bought a Switch and then they were like, oh, I'm going to get Mario Kart. And they bought Mario Kart Wii for it. It's like some poor kid got a Switch and then a disc for a Wii game. Like it's like nightmare fuel for me.
Jesus.
Oh, how disappointed would you be if you woke up on Christmas? It's like your nice new shiny Switch, and then like, oh, and here, open this one too, and like, parents are like, oh, he's gonna be so happy. He loves Mario Kart. He opens it like, this doesn't go in this.
Right? Yeah, I'm just like, yeah. Well, and then as a parent, you're like,
you feel like an idiot.
Yeah,
oh, I'm a moron.
Great, I just ruined Christmas for my kid. Or now they can do nothing but stare at this thing.
Right. Like, all right, well, you didn't need to be on that all Christmas anyway. We'll go to the store tomorrow. It's all right.
Yeah, you tell yourself as your kid stays in his bedroom for the rest of Christmas and doesn't come down.
I hate you. All right, well, I'm not going to tell you that you could buy it digitally, but there's not a lot of space on the Switch anyway.
Well, and if you manage to buy him the Wii version of Mario Kart, you probably
didn't buy an SD card.
Right, that's true. You didn't buy an SD card for him to buy the games either. It's true.
Yeah. Yeah. The concept hasn't even entered your mind. And if it did, your brain would explode because you don't understand.
What is this digital?
You mean it doesn't exist? Like, it,
what? You mean this connects to the internet?
Yeah, exactly.
Can I find this on the Google?
Tell me about Heat Signature, Pete.
Oh yeah, how much have I played of that? Maybe like an hour or something like that. 2 hours, maybe. It's the from the guy who made Gunpoint, Tom Francis.
Okay.
And it's like a procedurally generated, like top down. I don't know if I want to call it a. It has roguelike elements, but I might not categorize it specifically as one. But basically, you play as these space pirates who you take on missions, and each mission has a different parameter, like go infiltrate the ship and steal this item, or go and go on the ship and capture the captain, or kill the whole crew and take the ship back to base, or something like that, you know, like all these different things. And what's interesting is just like the sort of the amount of systems in place. Like it on paper, like looks like a very complicated game. But it's fun in the way of like sort of the sandbox it gives you to like mess around. So once you're on the spaceship, you're kind of on your own, and it's like, all right, well, figure it out. You know, you took a pistol with you, a crowbar, and this thing that lets you copy key cards from a distance. So, you know, how do you go from, you know, where you landed on the ship to then taking all of the, to like completing your mission, you know, because some of the guards, they can hear you approaching, others have shields on them, others can teleport to you when they spot you. So like, you know, it's really hard to dodge them and stuff like that. It's a big like puzzle box almost.
Is there like a strategy element to like setting up your, you know, how you approach it, or
Yeah. So like when you pick the missions, it'll give you like, hey, these are your parameters. So like the guards all have shields on them, you know, so they're going to survive the first hit. So you got to be ready to like follow up on them, or you know, if you're spotted, the alarm has like 10 seconds before the mission's a failure or something like that. And so like, you can be like, okay, or some of them, like some missions are like, you can't hurt anybody or you can't kill anybody, stealth kills only, blah, 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 blah. And so, yeah, you can plan ahead for those sort of things, but all the ships are procedurally generated, like even on the same mission.
Yeah, like, I'm looking at some screenshots. It almost looks like a board game type. I'm like,
Yeah,
like you could play this. Like I could see this coming out of a box of a board game. Like
absolutely. Ooh, excuse me. And so it's a lot of fun. I've only played, like I said, an hour or two of it or something like that. But it's something that it's one of those games that you like just jump into, for a little bit and or for like an hour or something, play a couple of rounds and then. Jump out. You play a little bit here and there during your downtime.
Nice.
It was only like $10 or something. So
it's a little change of pace game.
Yeah.
Cool. Let's see. I changed pace a little bit. I played Rebel Assault.
You played the Star Wars game.
The 1993.
Jesus God. Christ, Chris.
I'm drawing a blank on what you call it. It's like the live action.
Oh God!
Like one of those type games, right?
Oh, the FMV.
Yes, FMV. It's a weird game. I remember really liking it back when I played it years ago, like on my first PC. It's a really weird game, and it's really hard to play now because you're playing through DOSBox, and it kind of requires like an old school controller, like just like a stick controller with a fire button. I think it would actually work really well with like an Atari 2600 controller. The Xbox One controller is a little too sensitive for it. So made it very difficult to play through, but I did get through it. It's a really weird game. It kind of follows the story of the original Star Wars, of A New Hope, except instead of, Luke Skywalker blowing it up, you blow up the Death Star.
Oh no.
Oh, weird.
Yeah. It's so strange. Like they show images of Luke, but it's just like, young farm boys from all over joining.
They wouldn't just let you play as Luke Skywalker?
No, you don't play as Luke. Like,
nice job, Phil Skywalker. I've taken that.
It's so weird. And you do these like weird, so like you fly in like a T-16 Skyhopper at first to like train, and then you're in an A-wing, and then like you start doing like stuff from the like that you would remember like scenes from the movie. But then they drop you at Hoth. Like, so all of a sudden it jumps to like Empire Strikes Back.
Oh.
But then it jumped back to like Yavin and like the assault on the original Death Star, and you're the guy that has to shoot the proton torpedoes.
Oh, it's just fucking all over the place.
It's so weird. It's a really strange game. I guess this was like they never really had any of the games as canon, except maybe I think the Dark Forces games at one point were. But
yeah, because I mean, Kyle Katarn found his way into the books
and stuff,
and he was never like a prominent character, but
no, like yeah, but, like I do think that like they recognized him as a character, and the guy from Dash Rendar from Shadows of the Empire, like
mm-hmm.
he was actually in a book, like that was a book and a video game,
and he also dies at the end of the book, so like
right.
In theory, and I actually think he comes back, so maybe he did die. So it's real easy to sort of slot him in because he doesn't do anything else.
Right. But yeah, I guess like they mostly stayed away from like having, and then Disney wiped it all when they took over anyway. So
yeah, God, that took the wind out of my sails when it came to the canon, because I have a bookshelf of
now legends. You have a bookshelf of legends now.
Yeah. Okay. So I mean, I have maybe 50 books in the expanded Star Wars universe. And maybe a little less than 50, but real close. And I was real into all that stuff.
Oh, yeah, it's like I remember when I started reading them when the Thrawn trilogy launched.
Yeah,
and, like I was all the way through, like all the way up to like the New Jedi Order. So tons of books.
Oh yeah,
that are now completely like they're now all legends according to Disney.
Right, which like. I get, right? Like, I mean, it's hard to contend with, like, if you want to make new movies, trying to slot them into 30 years of comics and video games and novels and stuff, like, it's just, yeah, like, sure. I mean, I get it.
But, yeah, so I for whatever reason, I was like, oh, I have this. I bought it on Steam at some point, and I decided to play it because I had never actually played it. I had just bought it probably as part of like a Star Wars pack. Like sometimes when like during the Steam sales, they have like, you know, full collection packs. So I played that. That was a weird game. But I also played a bunch of Battlefront 2, and I've now unlocked all the heroes.
Oh, wow.
Are you playing that on Xbox?
Xbox One, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I have unlocked all the heroes. Yeah.
Are you enjoying playing the game?
Yeah, I like it a lot. Like, I'm going back. Like, it took me a little while. Like, I was like, shit. Like, I'm dying over and over again. What the fuck am I doing wrong? And it was – I was trying to play it like a Halo game. And yeah. and it's like – it's not quite Battlefield, but
you have to, like, take cover and stuff. Like, it's
– yeah. Like, because you're very – like, you die very quickly. So you have to be, like, you know, a little more – aware of your surroundings. You don't have a shield.
Mind your surroundings.
Yeah. And then I started playing as a heavy, which, you know, you have a bigger gun. It's like a, I guess, in terms of Battlefield, it'll be like a light machine gun. So spits out a lot of blaster bolts at once. And does a lot of damage if somebody gets in your way. It's a little wild, but that got me kind of in the mode of playing it and learning the maps and learning, you know, how to do it without dying instantly. And building up enough points to be able to play as the heroes. Because you have to get a certain amount of points in a game. So, like, the heroes are basically, like, kill point streak rewards from Call of Duty.
Right, the kill streak rewards, right?
Yeah.
Well, I guess not, right? Because you don't need to string together seven kills to place some stuff.
Right. You just need to get a lot of points.
Yeah, you got to get, like, it's like 6,000 points if you want to play as Yoda. And actually, most of the heroes are 6,000. Some of them are 8,000, which is weird. But it's not like, oh, I need 8,000 points to play as Luke Skywalker. No, I need 8,000 points to play as Rey. It's like, that doesn't make any sense to me, but whatever.
Now, the problem I heard from at the beginning of the game's release was that by the time that you got to play as a hero, the game was mostly over anyways.
So depends on that, you're playing.
Somebody, like, you can only have one person playing as a hero per game. So if you reached it, so did somebody else on your team, and so you had to, like, wait your turn. And
I never had that problem. Like, every time I filled up my points enough to get a hero, I always could get the hero.
Yeah, okay. like there have been times when I've always been able to pick a hero. Like, if I wanted to play a specific hero, like there's an achievement for playing as all the heroes, right? And before I'd unlocked them all, I was just trying to, like, check them off as I went. So it was like, I needed to play as Lando. But, like, when I pulled it up, like, Yoda was the only guy available to play. So, like, all I could go back out there as, like, an assault trooper, or I can play as Yoda. I'm like, Yoda's cool. He has a lightsaber. It's pretty quick. So, like, you burn your points that way. There's almost always a hero to play. That doesn't seem to really be a problem.
Oh, so it's not one hero per team, per game. It's just you can't play as the same character.
If there's a Yoda, you can't be a Yoda.
Yeah, okay, I just thought that, like, hey, if Chris, if all of us are on a team and Chris just happens to reach the threshold first, it's like, well, the rest of us just don't get to play as a hero this game.
Yeah, no. So, like there are points, and it's weird because the original Battlefront by EA didn't allow this. Like there were maps where the heroes were, you could be Boba Fett or Darth Vader, like, for the Empire. And you couldn't be Kylo Ren because that map wasn't associated with, you know, it was an original
canon, right?
Yeah, like, but now it's just like there are times when, like, the Emperor is running around, Darth Vader's running around, Kylo Ren's running around, Captain Phasma's running around, Bosk and, like, Boba Fett, and, like, they're all out there at the same time. It's fucking madness. Like,
but they also couldn't let you have cosmetics because that would break the canon.
Yeah, I don't get it.
I think that's an excuse.
And oh no, it 100% is. I'm just saying, like, they can't even, like, be consistent.
And I think their apologies are bullshit. I also think that people jumped at them a little too harsh before actually playing the game in depth, because like this, oh, it's pay to win. It's not pay to win. Like, you could buy all these trooper cards, but you can only use, like, you can only upgrade so far and use so many cards based on your level. So like, you actually have to play the game to be able to access all this stuff. So like, if you want to upgrade like your thermal detonator to like its highest level, you need to be like level 30 or something, plus have a card level. Like, it's a crazy convoluted number, but it's not like, all right, I'm just going to buy my way to the best shit. That doesn't make it right, but it's also not like this, like, it's pay to win. It's pay to win. Like, it's not pay to win. It's stupid. It's a terrible system, but like, I don't think people really like looked at it. Like, they're just like, you can buy loot boxes, so that means it's pay to win, and fuck these guys. Fuck it. Fuck it. Fuck it. Like, and it was like this weird.
Well, and EA's messaging never did make it any better.
Exactly.
Either,
like. And it's taken me now, like, I've now played the game over almost close to 30 hours for me to understand the leveling system. Because there's crafting points, there's credits, there's challenges to complete, and there's experience, and everything is tied to like these different levels of completion. So like, if I want to use X card, I need to have gotten to X level or have X amount of crafting points to be able to craft it up to that. And it's a weird system. It's bad. It's a bad system. And EA did themselves no favors, but I do think there was a lot of like hyperbolic kind of criticism around it. There's criticism that is deserved for this game, but there's also a lot of like nonsense bullshit, especially now. Like, I'm seeing like people like in comments and stuff, like just like, you know, ragging on it, and like, you've never like, the people that are ragging on it, like, you've never even played the game. Like, they fully admit, like, I'm never going to play this game because it's trash. Like, okay, like, you're entitled to have that opinion. Trash. Right, but it's like, I'm telling you, like, as a Star Wars fan, I enjoy it. Like, and, hey, I could be fucking wrong. That's perfectly fine, but, like, for people to just, like, jump down and, like, fuck EA, they're crazy and wrong, and like, they closed down studios and fuck them all, like, they fucked up Star Wars, they, like, all right, pick a thread and stick with it. and Battlefront 2 maybe isn't as bad as some people have made it out to be. I like it, it's fun. And as I said, the Starfighter assault mode is fucking great. It's basically Titanfall with spaceships. Because there are like the human controlled, like the human controlled ships, and then they fill it with AI ships that you can blow up. So, you never like, I just fucking suck at this, and I'm just getting destroyed. Like, there's always somebody worse than you out on the field that you can kill.
So but
it's a comforting feeling.
Can you summon a giant robot ship from the cosmos that will crash down upon you?
No,
and swallow you up.
I can fly Slave One or the Millennium Falcon.
True that. I think I would think about getting that game. I just keep forgetting, and I have like, I still have so many games I got to play.
Oh man, yes. The Xbox Live sale, I keep staring at it. I'm like, oh, I should pick up something. And like, but I already have all these games. Yes. I haven't played yet.
Yeah. I did the exact same thing. It's like, there's so much to play. And it's like, this kind of has become my de facto, like where Halo, like where it would be like Halo for me before, like I would hop in and play like by myself, like, because I just like playing multiplayer shooter. That's what this has become. I wouldn't say like everybody should rush out and get it. Like, I think Destiny can work for that, and Battlefield can work for that. In fact, I've been thinking about maybe playing that again because premium was $15. So I did buy that.
I would play that with you. So
yes, I've not seen any of those new maps. So might be fun to go back to. That game was a blast. Jeff,
you think
you're it here. So you tried out Snipper Clips?
I did try out Snipper Clips. I think in the third world of it, or whatever they want to call it.
Mm-hmm. I think they're worlds.
Yeah, whatever. Sets of levels, whatever. I don't find everything you're doing super exciting, and there's a lot of repeats as you kind of go through, essentially every world has the same types of levels, hey, cut these shapes, or hey, get this ball through a hoop, or whatever.
Yeah, it's the same type of challenges, just different ways of doing it.
But I think it was a good choice though for co-op game, because it's I would not play that game otherwise. In fact, the game very much pushes you to you have to be playing with someone else. Like single player is a secondary option, you know.
It's built around co-op, so
yeah. It's all about trying to communicate to whoever you're playing with. I need you to turn that. No, just trying to get something right that. That's where the fun comes out of it. But it's usually, I'd say at best, a half hour spurt. We'll play it and be all right, let's watch another Sopranos or whatever. So it's cool though. I'm happy I got it. And now I have a second controller that we could play other two player games with. So
did you get the plus edition
that has? Hell no.
No.
I think it was $20 one.
I think it was only $10 more.
Yeah, but I was think cool. I'll be good with.
There's plenty enough content.
Yeah.
In the regular one, and you played L.A. Noire. Where did you play that at?
On the Switch.
Okay.
God.
So that was my pick for Game of the Year 2011, I think, wasn't it?
It may have been. I don't have that spreadsheet.
It was definitely a Game of the Year pick for whatever year it came out.
Yeah,
by me, right?
The game we were supposed to be talking about for years and years.
Yes, by you, Jeff.
Yes, yeah. I still think it's a pretty awesome game, but
does it hold up?
It's well, I don't know 100% if I could say that. I guess what I'd say though is it's just, even if it did hold up, it's not a game that's exciting to play through a second time. You're just whatever. So story heavy that you're just I've seen this before, kind of, you know? It does feel a little dated too, probably. But other than that, I do think one thing is cool about it. I forgot, every case you did, it kind of scored you on how you did the case, which is cool. It's you got 3 out of 5 questions correct or whatever. So, you technically could replay the cases to try to get them all 100% right. But, it lets you kind of, make mistakes or whatever and still pass the level. But if you want to, go back
right, so, like, it. What's the point of trying to solve it? Either way, do you get other different endings based on your performance?
That's the thing is, I don't I think it'll be maybe minor changes in the dialogue, maybe. I don't know. I think it really changes anything huge.
You still move on to Vice or
yeah,
you know, whatever. Like the story still progresses. You don't get fired. I think it does. You can send the wrong person away though, right?
There's one section of the game where you have no choice but to send the wrong person away every time. Right?
I think so.
Yeah, so I don't know if you could truly... I mean, you could probably fuck up a mission where you get every question wrong and you can't solve it or whatever, but it lets you get 3 out of 5 things correct, you know, and move on. So it is kind of video gamey that way, but it's you're really just kind of playing a Telltale type thing, you know? I don't know. I'm gonna play through it because I asked for it from my girlfriend for it as a gift. But it's not super exciting to play again, you know.
Well, also they changed the words on the.
Yeah, it's accuse, good cop, bad cop, accuse. I think it says now.
Right, so it's actually somehow worse than it already was.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I'm doing enough to say. It seemed to have worked for me so far. For what I'm trying to do, but I forgot what the original
was. Doubt, truth, and lie, or something.
So weird.
Yeah. Well, because it's funny because I read when they announced they were making the change that
good cop, bad cop, accused system was what they originally had in the game, but that they redesigned. They wanted to go with something more expressive instead of something binary, so they redesigned like and facial made, expressions and stuff, they and, changed, and they changed the words. And so now that they've gone back, they have like this awkward attempt to meet in the middle with both the system they started with and the system they got in the released into the game. So
weird.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's all right, though. Like, it's not, I would say rush out and buy it, but if you're interested, it's...
I don't think I'm going to get it on... I got it on Xbox One. I'm not going to get it on Switch, but... have you played it, like, out of its stock?
I have not, but it is just neat to know that I have a Rockstar game on Switch. Like, that's why I bought it on Switch. I was like, Rockstar?
Might be the only one.
It's pretty rare. Yeah. It could be, yeah. So I'm trying to support it. Like, hey guys, bring more stuff here.
Maybe they'll redo Red Dead.
Yeah, right. We'd be lucky to get GTA, but
yeah, I guess they could do GTA 5, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was sound... released on originally on the older consoles, right?
Yeah, And I mean, they were able to somehow get Doom to run.
Look, all I know is that the Switch had Manhunt 2 on it, so anything's possible. And you could use the motion controls to strangle.
Well, the Wii had Manhunt.
So. That's what, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I never played that one.
I did. I did play it.
Bad.
It's Manhunt. I don't know.
I remember liking the first one. Manhunt.
I remember watching my friend play it and liking that. Like, that was fun to do, but, like, I don't think the game is super amazing or anything.
No, I like the technology behind it, like what they did. Like if you play with a microphone attached to it, that was so cool at the time.
There are ways nowadays to make an amazing Manhunt game, and I'm really sad that they haven't tried.
That they did that way too early, and then it kind of screwed everything up with Manhunt 2.
Like a Manhunt 3, I think, would be phenomenal. And like just the ways that like how gaming technology has grown and stuff, like
All right. I don't know, what are you guys looking forward to this month?
Oh shit, I was supposed to pick out games.
Because I don't there's not a lot that I'm like super hyped for.
I'm looking to maybe do some of the games I already bought.
Yeah, the Tomb King's expansion to
oh, right, yeah.
I'm in. Okay. Sign me up.
I have a list. Okay.
Oh, Pete has a list.
No. I forgot that we were supposed to do this for the email, so I'm just looking at the Wikipedia of the first 3 months.
I'm not looking forward to really any, like, I guess maybe I'd have to go look and research, but there's nothing. The only thing I'm really looking forward to the whole year is Red Dead 2 and basically whatever Nintendo has for me.
I mean, they're God of War's this year.
Spider-Man.
Were you not into Dragon Quest Builders?
I never played it.
Huh.
So no.
Okay.
What about Monster Hunter World, Jeff? You like Monster Hunter, right?
I might get that, yeah. That comes out
January 26th.
Yeah.
I might get that.
I'm curious about getting that too.
It looks awesome. I'll hear what you guys say about it, because I'm not a huge Monster Hunter fan. So.
No, me neither, but the fact that they say this is the quote-unquote most casual game they've ever made.
It also just looks awesome.
Oh, go Dungeons your buddies on Xbox. You should buy it.
I think I might have to buy it.
Thank you, Tony. Do it. Because it's no fun by yourself. Like the whole point is to play with your friends.
Well, in that case, then I'm never buying it. Okay, never mind.
They have Metal Gear Survive listed for February.
That game can go fuck itself.
I mean, I don't know.
I don't actually know anything about it. Like if the rumor about them pivoting to a battle royale type game is true,
interesting.
Then I'm actually vaguely interested. But like a weird like horde mode type thing, like I don't need that in my life. Thank you though. But I'm looking at Dragon Ball Z. Dragon Ball FighterZ comes out on the 26th. Now I'm very excited for that game. Because it's like a Marvel versus Capcom style game with like teams and tag outs and stuff and assists, but with all the Dragon Ball Z characters.
It did look very good. I'm not into fighting games,
but phenomenal.
It looks awesome.
It looks like it's 2D, so all the animations is just like strictly out of the anime. Like,
Pete, what's your take on Dissidia Final Fantasy?
I never played them. I looked at them, and the thing that I was most interested in were the voice actors they casted for the characters from like Final Fantasy VIII, and they all sound terrible. So okay. I was just like, meh. I don't.
I was just wondering because, like, you do like fighting games and Final Fantasy. So.
But this is this is like a weird. So okay, so I only have seen gameplay of the first Dissidia.
Yeah, and I don't second. Like that. It's not a regular fighting game.
No, they remind me of like Smash Brothers, but if Smash Brothers was 3D behind the shoulder.
Yes. It's really weird. I did not like it.
It's strange, but this is like the fourth one in the series, so they're clearly popular.
And this one's being done by Team Ninja.
Which sounds exciting, so.
Yeah.
And it is coming for PS4, so not Vita or anything, so.
Yeah. I'll be interested to see how that turns out. It's not on my list of, like, things I'm, like, super excited about. I do have Kingdom Come Deliverance. I backed that game.
So. That game is, like, 8 years old now?
Yeah, I backed it 3 years ago, I think.
Okay. That's that RPG, but it's like strictly like historically medieval. Like, there's no fantasy medieval elements. Yeah, in it.
There's no like magic or like.
I wonder how interesting that's going to be.
I don't know. We'll find out.
I hope it's good. I would be interested in that game.
Yeah. I have it coming though, so I will let you know.
Kingdom Come, you have it coming.
Yes, and then. For me, like the next real game, like, is Ni No Kuni 2, and Sea of Thieves, which are end of March, both of them.
Civ 6 expansion comes out in February.
That's right.
I'm curious about what they do with that. Rise and Fall, Shadow of the Colossus remake as well is in February.
Yeah, it's like early February, right, or something. Like that.
February 6th. Yeah, Owlboy on Switch, Xbox, and PS4 is on the 15th, and then that Bayonetta double pack is on the 16th.
Oh, for the Switch.
So if I had a Switch, I would definitely be buying that.
And Far Cry 5 is end of March.
Yeah.
We'll see. I don't know.
The more I hear about that game, the less interested I become.
And I still haven't finished 4, so.
Yeah. Okay, so here's one thing. The one good thing that came out of the Giant Bomb deliberations, maybe the only good thing, is that...
Best World?
No.
Oh, that was the worst thing to come out of that, Jeff.
Was the I think I might try to play the Yakuza games.
Okay.
Because
Yakuza 6 comes out.
What reminded me. But Yakuza 0, from what they were saying on the podcast, is like a really good onboarding period.
Okay.
And so like
I like that setting, like 80s Japan.
Oh god, yeah. And I played some of Yakuza 4 or whichever one was the first one to come out on PS4. I think there was like a demo I downloaded or a beta or something. And it seemed fun, but like, I never dove in, but, like, I could use a real meaty open world, like, well-made open world game to play in. Yakuza sounds like the way to go. So
They did definitely have some good discussions about that, so I was interested in it. I've always heard it's a little bit like Shenmue, though, which has always scared me.
I think in... Well, they say it's basically what if Shenmue was any good? And like, okay. What if Shenmue delivered on what it was actually trying to accomplish?
That's fair.
And stuff. So, and all this talk of like Asian open world games made me really miss Sleeping Dogs and how that franchise is basically dead now.
Yeah, that was a fun game.
That game was so good.
All right. Well, there are looks like there are things for us to play coming out.
More than I thought, but yeah. A lot of them seem to be on PS4, which is like, yeah, buddy. I don't want to hook up my PS4. Or like, I almost just want to be like, I'll just fucking sell this piece of shit PS4 and get like a Pro. But
Tony, are you getting the show?
Oh yeah, definitely. I love those games.
It's the one game that my dad wishes was on Xbox. Like, he has Xbox because it just, like, allows him to do interesting stuff with his PC. But every time he gets real pissed that 2K doesn't make the baseball game anymore.
That you're right. The only really baseball good. Game at this point is on PS4.
Yeah. Like, motherfuckers, why don't they put it out on PC?
Because Sony actually makes it themselves.
Yeah.
And Jeff, there's a new There's a new Monster Boy game coming out. I know you
I saw something about that earlier. I'm like, And I saw the art style for that new one that you were telling me to download, and it like, looks pretty interesting. I just didn't see like them flip between the two or whatever. But
oh yeah, like if you flip back, it's like straight back to like a Master System.
Yeah,
game style. Like it's just weird. Like when you played Halo, like the Anniversary Edition, but like way more stark because there's this like super like beautiful hand drawn art over the top, and then jumping back to like 8-bit. Graphics. So, all right. Well, that is everything here.
The news. If we want to dive in real quick,
is there any news?
There's one thing of news. One thing I think is worth discussing, perhaps, is that IGN fired their editor in chief.
Yes. Who'd been working from home for like a long time?
Yeah. So okay. So last year we had talked about the stuff that had surfaced around Callie Plagi and Vincent Genito and stuff like that. And right around that time, the then editor-in-chief, Steve Butts, who used to work under Jason Ocampo as part of their like PC section, like if you ever listen to their podcast and stuff, he's been with the company for a very long time. And then he left for like 2 years, and then he came back after Casey Lynch left and was just editor-in-chief. So he's been there for about 5 or 6 years. As EIC and stuff. And he, like, when that whole thing with Callie came out, because I followed him on Twitter, there was some weird joke that he made that she called him out on that he deleted. And that was like the last tweet that he sent. It was from like November 4th or something like that. And then, yeah, this article popped up yesterday saying that after an internal investigation, the general manager, Mitch Galbraith, which I'm pretty sure is the name of one of the main characters in Final Fantasy XII, but it said in a statement that they that they were just going to part ways with him, and that he was fired because into alleged misconduct. Now that doesn't say that it was like sexual misconduct; it says it was alleged workplace conduct. So
probably that.
Well, no. So this says that.
Well, what was the tweet? Like, that's what I want to know. I didn't look that up.
Oh, well, no. Well, the tweet's gone. He deleted it. It wasn't, and I don't think he was being investigated for the joke. This says
no.
That
I'm just saying we don't know.
No,
there's no screen caps of like his last fucking tweet that got deleted.
No, because I think back then it was too like nobody thought that he was involved.
Had anything to do with anything?
Yeah. And stuff like that. Like so, but yeah, that he was the like in the statements that she had made back in November and stuff, she had mentioned a boss who she felt had mishandled the situation. And that boss happened to be him. So he basically like railroaded the whole like HR thing on her and like turned it on her and stuff and forced her out of the company and stuff like that. So
maybe he ignored something that was like brought to him or like brushed it off or maybe, you know what I'm saying? Like,
well, no, what it sounds like is that she said that he told her not to be so uptight and that he would just like, that she was causing him a lot of problems, that he just wanted this unpleasantness to be over, like things that like it was all her fault and that he didn't want to actually have to fire Vince or anything. And that he just wished that she would drop it. And stuff.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I was like, he wasn't doing something. It was someone else was, and he was not.
Yes.
Like responding properly.
Right. That's why I say it's like alleged workplace misconduct, not like
that sexual, might be enough,
sexual misconduct, which is usually how that's worded. But like, that was a shock. They haven't named a replacement yet, so I'm not really sure who's acting as, like, their current.
Well, it'd be whoever it was. Like, there's no way he could actually be editor in chief and work from home for like 3 months.
You
know?
Sure,
someone's been filling in,
right? And I don't know who that is. Like, the only other person who's still at the company who has been there since I had started listening is Damon Hatfield. He's been there for maybe.
Well, Pear is currently filling in as interim EIC while he tries to look for someone new.
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
You know what's so funny is I had never heard of Steve Butts in my life, and I assumed Pear was the editor-in-chief. So when I saw that headline, I was like, no way, dude, not Pear.
Right, like,
you know, like, he seems like the nicest guy ever. Yeah.
because he is.
I freaked out for a second. I was like, get out of here, dude. No way. This is bullshit. And then I come down. I'm like, who the fuck is Steve Butts? I remember when that Casey guy was like the editor in chief. I guess I don't follow it all that close anymore, you know?
Yeah. Do you know when he said that? Was there a message on the website?
I saw it in Allegra Frank's news write up from yesterday. Per Schneider told Polygon that he'll serve as interim EIC for however long it takes. Okay. It'll be however long it takes to get it right. Schneider said, I'm lucky to have a team of seasoned editorial and video leaders I can rely on while I search for the best person for the job.
Okay. Yeah, because he's president of – he's co-founder and CCO of IGN. So, yeah, he wouldn't be like editor-in-chief. But, yeah, it doesn't surprise me that he's sort of taking the reins over things. But, yeah.
It's a shame.
Well, yeah, and you know, what's kind of ironic is that, like, Steve Butts is actually, like, a, like, hardcore Christian and stuff, and so, like, it almost fits the stereotype in some way that this is how it all went down.
Right.
And
always
stuff.
Always those guys.
Well, yeah, it's always those who like to pretend they're so morally upright compared to other people.
It's either that or the guys who really want you to know that they're feminist.
Right. Well, yeah, the what do they call it? The soft boy culture. Yeah. Yeah, that was all that Nick Robinson bullshit.
Yeah.
Yep.
But yeah, so I'll be curious to see who they bring in and what happens from there. But I'm glad that at least, like, it was clear that IGN took everything that had happened seriously, right? And, like, even after they had put out those, you know, after they had the workers had strike and stuff, and like the management put out a statement, they were like, oh, we're going to bring in independent investigators and stuff. And it's like, okay, well, this clearly shows that they stood by their word and are willing to remove like the most top brass from their company. So, you know, good on them for that. And stuff like that. But, you know, it's not every day that you hear the editor in chief of one of the largest websites in the world.
Yeah.
Gets fired. So, you know, it wasn't even like, oh, he steps down and resigns. Like, no, they just like fired his ass.
He's gone.
So, yeah, that was the only, like big piece of news that I found.
Yeah, it's been slow. Probably will be for a little bit.
Yeah. I think the next interesting thing that'll happen is according to some documents that leaked up from EA, there's supposed to be a Nintendo Direct somewhere in the middle of the month.
Yes,
that's supposed to. I thought the rumored date was the 18th.
I think I
finally
heard that.
Time for a Pokemon Madden mashup. Yes,
yeah, buddy. Oh my god, fuck yeah! Could you imagine Pokemon football?
I'd play it probably.
Yeah,
hell yeah!
It's just like we're about to
wrap up in here.
Jesus Christ!
Welcome.
Good time.
Perfect. You said
I've been here this whole time. What are you talking about?
Yeah, 7 p.m. I'm 8 minutes early.
Well, I'm happy to tell you, Foz, that we all voted and we've decided to issue a correction to our Game of the Year discussion.
Zelda again? Nice. Now,
yes.
We fixed all the problems.
It's now Total War Warhammer 2.
Yeah, man.
Oh.
It's actually L.A. Noir. We decided to retroactively give Jeff this
game
2011.
We're going to talk about for years to come. Bank on that.
For some reason, we still keep doing it. Like, just keep bringing it up. It's like, I'm going to prove to them that we're going to be talking about it because I'm going to keep bringing it up.
It's a good game.
I just stumbled across this as you know, as we're wrapping up, but it looks like Burnout Paradise HD is maybe coming out in March.
Wait a second.
Burnout Paradise HD.
You mean to tell me it wasn't HD the first time?
It's HD remaster, so
it's more HD.
Yeah. More Guns and Roses.
How do you feel about this, Chris? Are you excited?
I'll play the fuck out of that game again.
Yeah, I probably would too.
Like I'm not like, oh, it's not as exciting as like, hey, a new Burnout game, but I'll play the shit out of a new Burnout, another Burnout Paradise game.
This game, Monster Hunter. When that comes out.
We just discussed this, and I am going to get it on Xbox.
I think Tony's going to get it with you, too.
Yeah, that could happen.
So do it, Fozzie.
Yeah.
Pull the trigger.
I think, Tony, you'd actually like that game. Did you ever play the other
Monster
Hunters?
It looks pretty interesting.
Yeah. I could see you getting into that.
It's fun. You go kill a monster with your friends. It's like, yeah, that's it. There's no filler.
Yeah, there's not bullshit. Like,
it's like, that, and you go back and...
The 40-minute boss fight. Fucking enjoy it.
It's fucking great.
You just gotta, like, prepare for it, right? Like,
you prepare for it, and then, I mean, there's, like... Map for like the boss itself is really like it's pretty big, but
all right. What game?
Monster Hunter.
Oh, okay. I thought 40-hour like 40-minute boss fight made me think of that end boss from Final Fantasy 15 for a sec.
Oh, the Adamantos.
Yeah, which admittedly did take me about an hour. So
yeah.
All right.
Good stuff.
You guys are like if you get World and are like this is really good, all three of his. Maybe I'll pick it up.
Just do it.
No, I need to hear you guys go. That's
fair, because you know Hefe, he bounces, so.
No, I'm in on that shit. Dude, hey, I was with you. I know.
You guys,
and JJ.
You guys played a bunch of that, so.
We did, and we had a lot of fun.
I mean, we played a fuck ton of that. Yeah.
We did.
All right.
I will be in New Orleans next week, so I don't know what the plan is. I leave for New Orleans on Thursday night, so I don't know if we're going to record early or what, but we'll figure something out, and we will be back. Fozzie, say goodnight.
Oh, goodnight.